Today, Psalm chapter number 134, rather. Psalm 134, and when you find your place, I'll ask you to stand to your feet in honor of the reading of the Word of God just for a moment. A very short psalm, but I appreciate all that God's done. Pastor, thank you for letting us come by this morning. We'll be mindful of the time, and always a joy to get to hear you when you're up in the mountains, but it's nice to get to meet your people. Now, I come to be a blessing, come to be a help, and come to give you my heart. That's all I know how to do anymore, and I really believe it. And Brother Jim's been teaching us that for years now. If we're going to help anybody, we're going to have to give our heart and be obedient to the Spirit of God in this day. Psalm chapter number 134. We'll start our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Let's ask God's help again today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you again for your goodness and your mercy and your amazing grace. God, I'm glad. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad for Calvary and the empty tomb. For there, Lord, where would we be, God, if it hadn't been for your saving grace in the right time? God, I'm glad you let me be raised under old time preaching. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind as to open up this door today. I beg you, Father, for these sheep, God, that you feed their soul. And Father, for your servant, God, help us in this hour. We need you and we love you. God, bless Pastor Bowman. Bless his family and his church. And Father, would you let the work of Liberty Baptist continue on until you come in mighty measure, do great and mighty things. Help us, oh God, today to mind you. Work in the invitation. If there's one lost, that you'd save them. Help us, oh God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we ask with much thanksgiving. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. Thank you for standing as we've read and prayed together today. Psalm chapter number 134. You know the heading of this psalm is a song of degrees. And for those of you that are familiar with this, this will be the last one that is pinned down through the book of Psalms. And what they would do with these psalms of degrees is they would use them. Of course, you know this is the hymn book for the nation of Israel, but you know what they would do. They would use these psalms as they would go up to worship towards the house of God. And hey, you know what? God's people have always been a singing people. Hey, I love choir music. You did a good job today. I love congregational music. There's just something about the songs of the people of God being lifted up to heaven that does something, I believe, in the heart of God. And it does something in our hearts as well. And if you don't like singing like that, you better get ready, because one of these days heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place to be able to hear the songs of Zion. So here they are. The songwriter has pinned this short three verses down. As I look in my mind, what they would do is they would often have some call and response. I was reading after some men, and that's what he believes that this Psalm 134 is. And as I began looking in here, they would go up to the house of God. And I'm reminded of this, is they did not wait until they got to the house of God to be in a state of worship, but they were already in a state of worship before they ever got there. Hey, you know what I want in my heart and what God is refreshing in me in these days is that I do not want to wait until I walk in these doors. I do not want to wait until I get in the prayer room. I do not want to wait. Hey, before I walk into God's presence, I want to come in ready and have something in my heart to give the King of Kings. Oh, my soul, these songs of degree. Psalm 133, I can see it in my mind's eyes. They began to say, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And if there's anything that needs to be in our day, we are going to have to get a fresh grip on the unity among God's people. The Holy Spirit will never work, and God will never be able to do all He wants to do until we get over ourselves and get out of the way and let God have His wonderful way. Individual families, they would begin to rehearse these songs as they would go up to the house of the Lord. And then, oh my soul, what they would do, I can see them as they're coming in contact, the closer they get with other families, and they began to say, behold, that's that word that means look at here and pay attention. And they began to call to one another and say, it's good for us to dwell together in unity. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we're not isolated in this thing. I'm glad God did not save me to be alone and by myself, but He saved me to make me part of the family of God. What a wonderful world it is to know that I am His and He is mine. Here they are going to the house of God. I began wondering. There's several things that puzzle me about this short psalm, and I'm always real nervous when I look at the psalms because I want to be careful on how I look at it. I like to read after some older men, and as I began looking at it, I noticed the phrase when he said, behold, bless you the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. And so I began looking at that because I thought that somebody being in the house of God in the night season was a little bit different. So I began researching, studying, looking around at what I might could find. And then I found out that what there could be and what there used to be is they had some people appointed to stand and they would sing there in the middle of the night in the house of God. What they would do, nobody else was around, nobody else was listening, but what they were there for was the enjoyment of the Lord. They were there to stand. They were not my soul. They were not there to impress anybody else. They were not there to be a show to anybody. But they were there singing with their hearts, lifting up their voices in the midnight hour to the One that created them, the One that saved them, and the One that had given them that place of worship. And they were standing and they were singing. Not only that were there singers, but there were those that were on guard, those servants of the Lord, those priests were on guard in the midnight hour so that nobody would come in and steal away all that God had given them in the house of God. Hey, you know what was going on in the middle of the night? I began wondering. I mean, I got questions a lot of times in life. The longer I go, Pastor, the more questions I'm getting as I study my Bible and as I try to deal with people and live life, the more questions I'm getting. But as I look in these verses, what I'm finding out. And as I began to think on those that are serving God in the midnight hour, hey, is that they were up against several things in the night. They were up against the stillness of the night. I'll give you my title of my message in just a minute. I won't be long today. Just hang with me. Some of you smile at me, please. Amen. Some of you look like you had your coffee this morning. Oh my. They were up against the stillness of the night. They were standing and serving and doing their part for the Lord, what they were supposed to be doing in a night season when nobody was around to pat them on the back. Nobody was around to congratulate them. Nobody was around to necessarily lift them up or encourage them. Hey, not much was going on. Those singers would stand and sing. Those servants would stand and make sure nobody got in, make some preparation for the next day. Hey, and there they are being faithful in the middle of the night. The rest of Israel, the rest of Jerusalem, probably asleep around them except for the watchman on the walls. Hey, but there they are. Not much was going on. But there they are serving the Lord in the middle of the night. You know what I'm finding out in our day? The Lord may have left us in the darkness of this night right before He comes back. And we know that the closer it gets, the darker it's going to get. Hey, but hey, you say there ain't much going on. It's just say it's been a while since I saw somebody get in the family. You say there's not much of activity around with the people of God. There's no farming going on. And there's no great growth going on in the middle of the night. Oh, there may not be. They may have been up against the stillness. And they may have been up against the sleepiness of the night. Hey, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hey, my soul, they were up against so many obstacles. Not only that, they were up against the scares that come in the night. How many of you have been out doing something in the middle of the day, and as long as you got daylight, everything's fine? Isn't it amazing that noises in the broad daylight won't bother you at all? You won't pay them another thought. But as soon as the darkness comes, and you're out by yourself, you fellas that get out in the woods at night, maybe your flashlight quits or something like that. Then all of a sudden, your phone's getting ready to die or whatever. All of a sudden, the noises that you were hoping for in the daytime are now boogering you to death. Y'all understand that language, don't you?
Yes.
Scaring y'all to death. I'm among country people. I'm a country boy. It's all right. I'm from the mountains. Y'all from the flatland. It's okay.
Right.
But here they are. No doubt the noise is in the middle of the night. Could it be a thief? Could it be some animal, something, some awful crime? You say, what happens in the night? Murder, sins happen in the night so often. Murders happen in the night. Robbery and theft happen in the night. Adultery, fornication, wicked things like that go on in the night season. And there they are, trying to serve God in the middle of the darkness of the night. Hey, it doesn't seem like anything grand or glorious may be going on around them. But yet, there they are. And you know what I found out? I was reading, and one man said that the first two verses of this psalm, that is the call. There's somebody coming up to the house of God, and he's calling out to those that are on the inside of the house of God. And the last verse is those priests on the inside, calling out from the inside of the house of God to those that are coming towards them. You say, what is that? God loved those people enough on the night shift to give them a word in their night season. And you know what I'm finding out is that God loves His children in this day just like He did back yonder. And right here before He comes back, it may be dark, and it may be hard, and it may be bad. Hey, and men's hearts may be cold. Hey, but God still has a word for the night shift. That's what I want to preach just a few more minutes this morning. A word for the night shift. Number one, follow along with us today for the last few minutes we've got. First of all, there is the command to the consecrated. First of all, look there in verse number one. The very first word in the psalm says, behold. Then it says, bless ye the Lord. That phrase, behold, it means to pay very close attention to. It's an exclamation of drawing the eye and drawing the attention. And there is somebody that is getting ready to say something to the people of God that are standing and serving in the midnight hour. There's the attention of these attendants. He says, behold, bless ye the Lord. You say, well, that don't mean a whole lot to me. That's real simple. You know what that phrase, bless ye the Lord, is? That blessing is a picture of giving honor to somebody that is higher than you. They're saying, bless you the Lord. You know what they're saying? They're saying to take some time in that night season to worship the Lord. Hey, you know what we need desperately in our day? Hey, it's one thing to come into a church building, and it's one thing to come into a service. It's one thing to tithe. I'm glad for tithing and giving. That's a sweet blessing. Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to sing, and it's one thing to go through the motions, but it is a heart matter of worshiping and blessing the Lord. Hey, there he's saying, behold, bless ye the Lord. If there's any commandment that needs to be brought about in our day, it is this. If anything needs to be reminded in the hearts of the people of God, no matter how much you labor for the Lord, no matter how far you go with the Lord, never get over the fact that Jesus saved you and He washed you and He's put you in the house of God, and there needs to be a heart of worship inside of us. The attention of these attendants. Behold, bless you the Lord. There's the Almighty's choice. He said, all ye servants of the Lord. You know what this one that's calling out is trying to remind those servants of in the house of God? He is trying to remind them that they are not their own. That there was a day when they used to be down in Egypt and they had no hope and they had no way out. And But one day the deliverer showed up with a word. And you know what he did? He said, take that lamb and you take the blood of that lamb and you apply it. And then guess what God God did through the blood of the Lamb. And by the way of the Red Sea, there He opened up a way of deliverance for His people. And He brought them out. Oh, don't let me forget this. Hey, you know what God said His purpose for bringing them out was? He said, I brought you out that I might bring you in. It was not God's will for them to die in the wilderness. Hey, Christian, you ain't got to wander all your life in the wilderness of doing what you want to do. But you can find your way into Canaan's fair and happy land and live for Jesus all your days. And it'll be wonderful. And it will be worth it. He's trying to remind them. God got them out of Egypt. Got them through the wilderness. Got them into Canaan. And God placed them there. Oh my. You say, why is that important? That's great. All of God's people, all of the Israelites had a portion in getting to the promised land. But guess what? Not just everybody was a priest. He's trying to remind them, Pastor. He's trying to remind those servants in the house of the Lord that there was a calling on their life. For while they were out there in that wilderness, God looked down and He chose out Levi, those sons of Levi and Aaron and his boys, to serve Him in that place forever. You say, what does that mean? There was a call on their life. You say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not this. Hang on just a minute. God has called every one of us that's born and names the name of Christ to be His servants and to love Him with all our heart. Hey, some are preaching, some are singing, some are teaching, some are doing. Hey, but we're all called to be Christians. And here they are. He's reminding them, oh, that there was a day, hey, when God looked down on them. Hey, guess what? I about forgot this. Hey, they were children of Aaron. They were sons of Aaron, those sons of Levi that were serving in that place. And they did not have any right to any particular land. But God looked down and said, you. Hey, He said, I am their possession. You know what I found out in my Christian life? That the Lord is my possession. And the sooner you find that out, the happier you're going to be. Hey, there was an already difficult call. They already had the labor of the priesthood on them. But here they are. God has placed them in the night season. Oh my. Already they had the responsibility of the work of the house of God. But now it's dark. Now it's more difficult. They had things that they were guarding. They had things that they were looking over. There was a lamp that could not lose its light. There was, oh my soul, there were people that would need forgiveness. And oh my, what a work it was. There's the command of the consecrated. Let me remind you, number two, there is the continuation of the call. Look at what He says. He said, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. What I'm finding out a lot in my journeys is that a lot of God's people are questioning and they're wondering why God has allowed them to be raised in this time period. I don't know how many times I've heard it out of preachers' mouths and different, and I've wondered it myself. Why in the world are we here in 2023? Why were we not born back so many decades ago in a different time and in a different world? But God knew exactly where He wanted you when He looked down through time and He allowed you to be born, allowed you to get saved, and allowed the gospel to change your life, and here you are. And He's got you here right before He comes back for this time. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we serve. There is the promotion of praise. Look at verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You say, why is He saying that to those priests? They're God's servants. They're God's men, in a word. They're the ones that have been in there serving the Lord. They're separated to serve God. You know what that one that's calling out is trying to remind them of? That even though they're busy in the house of God serving the Lord, they do not need to forget that the one that loved them and brought them there and put them there is still worthy to be worshipped and still worthy to be praised. He's saying, you get around. Hey, don't ever get so involved in everything that's going on around you that you forget to take the time out to worship and to walk with the Lord. Hey, a few years ago, Pastor, I was still working at a sawmill before the Lord let me go full time. I developed some severe allergic reactions to sawdust. I mean, it's crazy how God did everything. But during that time, right before He let me step out, I was working full time at a sawmill. I was preaching 3 to 7 times every week. I mean, radio, nursing homes, churches, meetings, whatever. I was teaching guitar lessons on the side. Hey, and I was going to Bible college trying to juggle everything. I wasn't eating and I wasn't sleeping. I mean, just trying to go and do and do. And you know what I found myself doing? I found myself, preacher, going to the study just to feed other people, just to be a blessing and just to be a help. Hey, and that's the responsibility of it. I want to bring something to God's people every time I stand. But you know what I realized? I was sitting there. I ended up getting laid off because of all the COVID stuff. I ended up getting laid off. I was sitting there at my house one morning with my coffee and my Bible. Somebody say amen. I was sitting there that morning and my Bible reading was Luke chapter 10. And it was about Mary and Martha. And I was sitting there reading. And I began to read those words. That Martha went to Jesus and she began to say, hey, bid her therefore that she help me. And I began to sit there, and right where it said, when Jesus turned and looked at Martha and said, Martha, Martha, the Holy Spirit of God put my name right there and said, Austin, Austin, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chose home my soul. It's amazing how what the attitudes can turn to when we're worried about the work instead of about the worship. Hey, God wants your labor, but God wants your worship more. He would rather you sit at His feet and get up to go serve. Hey, this man that's giving a word to these priests, he's saying, hey, don't you forget what it's all about. Hey, they're tending to all these things, but it's still right every now and again to throw it all down and throw up your hands and say, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Hey, don't forget to worship. The promotion of praise. Here they are being faithful. You say, why is this man reminding these that have been in the service so long of their priority of worship? Because there is the protection of the posterity. You say, what do you mean by that? There is another generation of priests coming along behind those that are getting ready to step out. Every time they would get to that certain age, around 50 years old, they would begin to go into a different line of work, and those young 20-something year olds would step into that work, and they would come in and they would learn the ropes and they would learn the sacrifice. Hey, they would learn how to handle all these things. They would have to have a high priest that would go in with the blood once a year on that day of atonement and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat in the holiest of holies. And he would have to have it all together. Hey, there were those, they were responsible if somebody had a disease. Those priests had to go and look at their house. They had to make sure everything was right. They had to make sure they were quarantined the right amount of time. If there was sin, they had to make sure there's a trespass offering. They had to handle all the blood, all the animals, and all those different things. And must have been a real busy life. Oh, my soul. Oh, they were responsible. Hey, for the next generation coming along behind them, there were utensils that did not need to leave the house of God. There were precious. Hey, hold on just a minute. There were precious things in the house of God that did not need to be stolen away by night. Hey, the enemy, the devil, our adversary, he comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And in the night season, they were running the risk of somebody coming in and stealing away those precious things in the house of God. Hey, we saw our precious things this morning. These little youngins coming down here. Oh, I appreciate y'all, by the way. Oh, my soul, that stuff right there will impact them for the rest of their days. Hey, these young families and people are precious to the house of God. Hey, we cannot afford to lose the precious things in the house of God. There was a brazen laver. There was a golden candlestick. There was bread that had to be put out on the table of showbread. There was an Ark of the Covenant, where the Shekinah glory would show up. There were precious things around them. You say, why are they in there? Why do they need to worship in the middle of the night? Why do they need to be faithful to where they are? Because there's another generation coming along that needs to see that it's real and that it's worth serving God. And they do not want the next my soul. They do not want the next generation to get the wrong idea about serving God. And you know what I'm trying my best to do? I'm 29 years old. I've been saved about almost 23 years now. I'm not good at math, especially when I'm trying to preach. I've been trying to preach since I was 14 years old. And looking back over the years that God's given me, hey, I don't want anybody to get the impression that it's a drudgery to serve the Lord. Hey, it's good serving Jesus. It's the most exciting thing I've ever done. It's the joy of my heart and the love of my life is to walk with Him and worship Him and get to serve Him in this life. Oh, my soul. Young people, you'll never go wrong being serious about your walk with God. Walking with Him and loving Him. Mamas and daddies, you'll never go wrong serving Him faithfully in front of your children. It matters, friend. It sure does. There's the protection of their posterity. There's the preparation of those promises. He said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's a repeated phrase. You say, why were they supposed to worship? Why were those older priests supposed to worship in front of those younger priests? Because they needed to know, Brother Ken. They needed to know that it was worth it. You say, how else were they going to know that it was worth it? I can see it in my mind. I just look at it differently, I guess. But as I see it, what happens is, you know, the portion of those things. I can see that older priest looking at his son. His son's getting ready to come in there and take over. And I can see them in my mind. They've made sacrifices they've done. Maybe they've borne the heat of the day. Maybe they've got to work over into the night season now. And I can see that young man sitting there watching his daddy, saying, Daddy's labored and Daddy's done and Daddy's been faithful. And he's saying, I wonder if it's really going to be worth it. He's always tired. And he's always wore out. I wonder if God's really going to take care. Then all of a sudden I can see that daddy, hey, take a hold of one of them shoulders of one of them lambs and pull it off of there and say, son, here you go. That's your portion. And he says, looking at him with eyes that big around and saying, Daddy, I don't understand. He said, son, God said that He was our portion. God said He was going to take care of us. And I could see all of a sudden that daddy throw everything down and decide to lift up. He hears that call coming from the outside. And he says, I'm going to lift up my hands and bless the Lord. And he says, it is worth it after all. It is worth it serving Jesus. It is worth it being faithful in my place. The preparation of those promises, every sacrifice, everything in that temple, everything in the house of God pointed to one man that was soon to come. They were hearing the prophecy saying, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. And now here we are looking back saying, He came, but He's coming again. Hey friend, I want us to know, hey, they're seeing Christ in the types and pictures. And now we're looking back at it all. Friend, it does matter. Because what we're doing is a whole lot bigger than you and I. We're showing Christ to another generation. The command of the consecrated. The continuation of the called. There is the commendation of the Creator. Oh my. Say, preacher, can I have the piano players come back while I'm finishing this up? The first two verses, the old writer said that there was somebody approaching the house of God and he's saying, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Worship is worth it. But he said that last verse, he said that is the call of those men of God, those people of God, those singers standing there singing to the Lord in the night season. That is their call back to that one that is coming and giving them a word in due season. It's a very short verse. Look at it. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee, out of Zion. The answer of the laborers, these men, they realized, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit. Hey, you remember when Solomon dedicated the house of the Lord and they made those sacrifices and all that stuff, and God's presence so filled the house that they were not able, those priests were not able to minister and they were not able to labor anymore. It would not surprise me at all if in the middle of the night them singers are standing over there singing to the Lord, just trying to bless Him and just worship and give their heart to Him. And there's the men of God. They ain't quitting. They ain't kicked out, and they're preparing another generation, and they've heard the call, they've taken time, and they've began to worship. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that Shekinah glory from behind that holy of all began to creep out into that place and began to speak to their hearts and help them. You say, what in the world? Then something must have happened, because here they are and they respond, and the first words out of their mouth are, "The Lord." You say, that ain't a big deal. Hold on just a minute. That's Jehovah. That's the self-existent one. That's the eternal one. That means there's nobody like Him in this life or the next. It means He's by Himself. He doesn't need me and He doesn't need you. But He's still on the throne and He's still in charge and He's still right and He's still real. They said the Lord, something must have helped them. The Lord that made heaven and earth. You say, well, that ain't a big deal. Yeah, it is. There's the ability of the Lord. They said, you know who He is? He's the Creator. He's the one that put breath in man. You know what they're saying to that one that's coming up there? They've got a word for that one that's coming towards them. And they said, the Lord that made heaven and earth. You know what that means? It means if He can do all of this, there ain't nothing too hard for Him. And they're just simply, something's helping their heart. And I'm glad to report to you today, there is nothing too hard for Him. He said He can make all this and save you and change you and bless you, then, oh my soul, there is nothing too hard for Him. Sis, whenever you're ready, just start playing. There's the answer, those labors, the ability of the Lord. But that last phrase, there's the attitude of those leaning ones. They said, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And they don't use bless thee out like we use it up in the mountains. But you know what? Something must have helped their heart. And they said, that one called out and said, don't you forget to bless the Lord. And then there those laborers are saying, the Lord's helped us. The Lord that made heaven and earth, there's nothing too hard for Him. Bless thee out of Zion. From His presence in the house of God, from His goodness and from His grace. They were not bitter about their labor in the midnight hour, but they were glad in the Lord. Let's stand across the building. I can see them. Maybe it's beginning to dawn towards daylight. It's darker than it's ever been, but it's almost daylight. They began to make their way out there to that eastern. See, that the house of God, it faced the east where that sun would rise and shimmer as it shone in the house of the Lord on all them instruments. I could see them gather up and began to look out and feel the warmth of that sun on their face and maybe say to one another, I'm so glad we didn't quit in the midnight hour. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. This altar's open.